It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. On this weekend's show, we're going to focus on fire prevention efforts with much of the conversation in regards to the planned power shutoffs that PG&E is implementing during the times of high fire risk throughout its coverage area. We're pleased to be joined in studio today by Brandy Merlot, PG&E spokesperson, who will tell us all about that. And also, we're going to hear from Tuolumne County Office of Emergency Services Coordinator Liz Peterson, who will provide some of the latest new information regarding the Tuolumne County Fire Initiative. So first off, thank you so much for both coming in studio today.
Thanks for having us.
I'll start first with Brandy Merlot with PG&E. If you can tell us a little bit about the planned power outages and how this all came about.
So last year we started our public safety power shutoff program, and it's part of our larger community wildfire safety program. And it's really in response to the rapidly changing environmental conditions we've been seeing and the fire seasons of the past few years. So we're looking to shut off power in the interest of safety when conditions are just ripe for those fire conditions.
And has it happened in some areas of the state already this summer?
It has happened once so far. Well, technically, there was two turnoffs. So one shutoff happened in Napa, Yolo, Solano counties, a small section there. And then a larger one happened in Butte and Yuba counties. We were able to get most of those customers restored within 24 hours of the power being shut off.
So is it all of Tuolumne and Calaveras counties that could be fair game for these power shutoffs, or is it just certain parts?
Yeah, essentially this year it could be all of our 5 million plus electric customers. We're letting them all know about this program and the potential for it to have an impact to them specifically. It's more susceptible for those in high fire threat areas, but all electric distribution and transmission lines are part of this program this year for any areas that are of high fire threat.
So making a decision to do a planned power shutoff, you know, what are kind of the factors that are used to make that decision?
Yeah, so we have a wildfire safety operations center in our general office in San Francisco, and they're continuously monitoring weather conditions, field conditions, all sorts of things. We have more than 200 weather stations installed across our service area to provide us with really in-depth information about those microclimates out there that we see. And we're taking a look at things such as a potential red flag warning, humidity levels of the vegetation on the ground, and real-time observations from both our weather centers out in the field and our employees. And we're taking all that, as well as wind speeds, I forgot that. And we're taking all of that into consideration when we consider shutting the power off for safety.
Those weather stations that you mentioned, are those relatively new or they've been there for a while?
They're new. They're part of our community wildfire safety program. So last year we installed 200. This year we're looking to install, I think, another 200 throughout our service area. And those weather stations, the information is all available to the public. So you can, most of them are available on the National Weather Service. You can get real-time information. There's quite a few in all of these high fire threat areas where customers can really see what's going on based on those weather stations.
So collecting information on the weather, what are the type of things that they collect then?
So we're looking at wind speeds, both sustained winds as well as wind gusts. We're looking at humidity levels, and we're also looking at humidity levels in the vegetation on the ground.
And then so for like wind speeds, is there certain, you know, a cutoff that you have to call for a power shutoff?
You know, every situation is unique, but in generally we are looking at speeds above 25 miles an hour sustained and gusts above 45 miles an hour.
Is humidity level something you look at as well?
It's certainly something we look at, and it's generally 20% or lower.
Okay.
But it's really a combination of all of these factors put together. And you know, no situation is going to be the same. It's unique, and it's really something that we're constantly monitoring and weighing the options at our Wildfire Safety Operations Center of what to do for the best interests of safety of our customers and our communities.
I know it's hard to predict because you don't know what the weather is going to be like or conditions, but these planned power shutoffs, is this something you would anticipate happening multiple times throughout the year in an area, or would it be pretty rare that something like this will happen?
You know, it has the potential, right? So we're continuously monitoring the weather conditions, and, you know, it's impossible really to tell when, where, and how often we'd shut the power off. But it is something we're looking at for safety when those conditions are just so that we'd be letting customers know.
I assume as it gets later in the year before there's the first rain, the conditions dry out, there's probably a better chance. Am I correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, we have already seen a public safety power shutoff this year. However, as the conditions continue to get drier and, you know, windier, it's certainly something we want our customers to be prepared for.
So for customers who could lose their power, is it something that could happen, you know, just right away and they won't know about it, or will there be advanced warning?
Yeah, so our goal, you know, weather events are dynamic and always changing. So our goal is certainly to provide our customers with 48 hours notice of a potential for a public safety power shutoff, and then reaching out to them again at 24 hours to let them know. And then again, about an hour before the power would potentially go off. You know, that's our goal and that's what we're striving for. You know, not every situation is going to maybe work that way, but we're certainly looking to let customers know as soon as possible. We also are looking to let our agency folks know at about 72 hours that we're even considering a possible shutoff in an area so that they can start preparing as well.
We're talking about the planned power shutoffs on this opening segment of this weekend's Motherlode Views with Brandy Merlot, who is a PG&E spokesperson. I understand PG&E is also encouraging people to make sure their contact information is up to date.
Yes, thank you for mentioning that. That's absolutely one of the most important things we're letting our customers know. We want to make sure we hear from all of our customers in our high fire threat areas, especially to make sure their contact information is up to date, because we want to make sure we can let them know what we're potentially planning so that they can take personal responsibility to enact their plan. So we want to make sure we have the correct phone number. You know, maybe you don't have a landline anymore. Maybe you only have a cell phone and you haven't changed that on your PG&E bill. We want to make sure you have an email, because we can do calls, we can do texts, and we can do emails to customers to let them know.
These planned power outages, will they primarily, do you know, last like a couple of days, or could they be, you know, a full week that people could be without power?
So the tricky thing is, when we shut the power off for safety, we are required to patrol every foot of that line before we turn it back on. So we will call the public safety power shut off. The weather event will happen, however long it will take. Excuse me. And then we will send our employees out to go patrol that line, because the last thing we'd want to do is re-energize the lines when there's a potential problem and cause another issue. So we will go out and patrol all the lines. And as we're patrolling, we're going to do step restoration, or basically, you know, patrol a line, restore to that point, patrol the next section, restore to that point. So we are letting customers know that there's a potential for them to be without power for 24 to 48 hours and potentially prepare for 2 to 5 days, worst case scenario.
I know there's been some public meetings as well on this, and the community of Sonora hosted one not too long ago, and other communities have also been hosting these open houses and so forth. Did you see a pretty good turnout here locally?
We saw a great turnout here in Sonora on June 5th. There was quite a few people there. There was really great questions and really great conversations going on. A lot of the questions focused around our vegetation management work, and especially related to this community welfare safety program. There were a fair amount of questions for our public safety power shutoff, and just general knowledge of what we're doing around wildfire safety.
Have you been working closely with law enforcement officials to keep them in the loop about what's going to happen?
Yeah, we're actually working with California OES overall, and as well as the other investor-owned utilities in the state. And we're working with local police, local fire, local counties to kind of give them information and what we can to let them know what we're preparing to do so that they can also prepare on their end.
And as you mentioned, these planned outages could happen at any time, depending on conditions. You know, what do you recommend for customers to do ahead of time to be prepared?
There's certainly a lot of things customers can do. And I'm assuming a lot of customers in this area would already have a lot of this done, because they do experience outages in the wintertime. So, you know, if you're able to do so, certainly invest in a generator, you know, even one that will just run your refrigerator or your, you know, cooling system. And, you know, prepare for a couple days of food and water, you know, just in case. Also, make sure that you have any medications handled that you may need. If you need refrigeration for any medication, make sure you're prepared for that. And just make sure to check on your elderly neighbors and keep an eye on kids, and also have a plan for your pets.
You know, as you've had those open houses that you mentioned, any kind of misconceptions that you're hearing about the plan that people don't quite understand how it's going to work?
A lot of people are confused about why it takes us so long to get the power back on when we turn it off, and really talking through the restoration plans and talking about how we are, improving upon that. Last year, we had a public safety power shut off, and it did take us a little longer to get the power back on. And so certainly this year, we've looked at it even more thoroughly, and we're really trying hard to make sure we can get the power back on as soon as it's safe to do so.
and all these different things that you talked about, the planning for this, were these things that were worked out with the state level as well to get approval?
Yes. Yeah. We're coordinating closely with California OES to get this information out. Their goal was really to have all California residents be prepared for this, because all of the larger utilities have a program like this. So they want you to know, no matter where you live in California, no matter who your energy provider is, there is a chance that you could be impacted by one of these shutoffs.
Need to take a quick break. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. On this weekend show, we're joined in studio by PG&E spokesperson Brandy Merlot, as well as Tuolumne County Office of Emergency Services Coordinator Liz Peterson. We'll talk to her a little bit later, getting the latest information on the Tuolumne County Fire Initiative. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. A programming note: next week on Motherlode Views, we'll be joined in studio by Darren Grossi, Tuolumne County Transportation Council Executive Director. He'll give us an update on the various transportation projects that are in development and planned for Tuolumne County. That's next week on Motherlode Views. Our second segment of this weekend show will continue in just a minute.